welcome every one of you, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you who might be watching us online, as we are continuing a message series titled Peter, A Transformed Life. And today we are focusing on signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. As we started this series 2 weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, and by the way, last Sunday, our friend Stephen Luttenberg's message for Father's Day was outstanding. How about that? Yeah? Yes. So 2 weeks ago, we said, you know, before Pentecost, there were many notable things about this guy, Peter. First of all, he was a natural leader. Amen? Peter was the kind of guy that everybody looked up to. He was a natural leader that emerged among the disciples. Second, he was often impressive. He was often impressive. You know, he got out of the boat and he started walking on the water toward Jesus. That was impressive. Another time, remember, Jesus said, Who do they say that I am? And Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was impressive. But Peter was also impulsive. He was a man of action, a man of passion, but sometimes that got him into trouble. So when Jesus, remember, began to tell his disciples, hey, this is what's going to happen. We're going toward Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be crucified. Peter was the one who said, No, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And Jesus had to rebuke him. Another time, remember, Jesus was trying to say, I need to wash your feet. And Peter said, No, Lord, you know, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus had to straighten him out. Peter was impressive. He was impulsive. He was also often a failure when he tried to do things in his own strength. When he tried to do things in his own strength apart from God, Peter often messed up big time. Probably his biggest failure came in leading up to the crucifixion when, remember, Peter told Jesus in Matthew 26:33, let's read it together, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. But we know the story. Before the cock crowed three times, he did. Peter disowned. He denied he ever knew Jesus. But the day of Pentecost was a key turning point in Peter's life. From that time forward, Peter lived a transformed life. When the power of God came from on high, when the promised Holy Spirit came and filled his heart and his life, Peter was changed. And on the day of Pentecost, he was bold in his witness. In Acts 2:16-36, he declared to the Jewish leaders, he got in their face and said, God made this Jesus whom you crucified, little dig there, whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. The resurrection had a way of doing that. He's Lord. He's the anointed one, the Messiah, the one whom God had sent. He was bold in his witness. He also was bold in his call to commitment. Remember, he preached that message, and at the very end of it, it was such a compelling message, the people shouted, What shall we do? And in Acts 2:38, he shared these words, Repent and be what? Baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. That passage, to me, is one of the most significant statements that Peter made. It rings true today in our generation as it ever did in his. Peter's life was transformed. His life was changed. And here's the thing. You and I can live transformed lives too. We too can be filled with the power of God. God can use your life to do mighty things. Remember this. Nothing is impossible when we put our faith in Jesus, when we are filled with the power of His Holy Spirit. Today I want us to look at another story from Peter's life, another story from his life after Pentecost, and the story that we read earlier. A man crippled from birth was carried every day to the temple, to a gate, a specific gate, where he begged for alms, where he begged for money. And Peter and John encountered him there, and the conversation that they had with this man changed his life forever. So what does this story have to do with our lives? And what are things that, you know, we see from this story that we can learn that can make a difference for us today? Well, I want to lift up five things from the story that are relevant for us today. First of all, if you're following along, I'd say I want you to notice that prayer undergirded their daily living. There was a discipline that these earliest disciples were following, and that is the habit of daily prayer. We read in Acts 3:1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So it turns out there were three times that were given to prayer in Judaism. One time early in the morning, connected with the early morning sacrifice. Another time was at 3 in the afternoon, related to the evening sacrifice. And then a third time at sunset. Those were three times where everyone who was related to the Jewish community understood these are times we're called to pray. And apparently the disciples were using this pattern for their own prayer time. And so there's something to be said about regular times for prayer. Amen? Pastor asked a little boy one time if he said his prayers every night. Yes, sir, the little boy replied. And do you always say them in the morning too? The pastor asked. And the little boy said, no, sir, I ain't scared in the daytime. I don't know about you, but I often find plenty of reasons for me to be lifting up prayers during the daytime as well. The thing I want us to remember, though, is whenever somebody is doing something great for God, prayer is always a big part of it. There is no substitute for developing a regular habit, a regular pattern of prayer, because prayer is the conduit through which the power of the Holy Spirit flows. Amen? Prayer is the conduit through which the power of the Holy Spirit flows. Connect with God in prayer, and He will connect with you, with His presence, with His power. We are filled with God's Spirit when we open our hearts and our minds to His will and to His Word. We can do amazing things for God as we develop a heart and a capacity for daily prayer. Second thing I want you to see from this story, the crippled man was doing all that he knew to do. All that he knew to do. Every day this man was taken to the temple to beg for alms, for money. And no doubt in his mind, he probably thought, this is my lot. This is my place in life. It's really all that I'm able to do. I'm limited. My life is restricted. This is going to be it for me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever found those feelings bubbling up in your mind about yourself? This is all that I'm really able to do. We read in Acts 3:3. Let's read it together. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He was doing all that he knew to do. But often, remember this, God has such bigger plans for us if we can be open to what He might want to do. Some people have disabilities in life, and we have compassion on them. We want to try to help and to care for them. May we always have compassion and care for the hurting and the disabled. But there are a lot of people who suffer not only from physical disabilities, but from spiritual disabilities as well. What's hindering them is not something physical on the outside. It's something instead on the inside. It's a spiritual disability, if you will. They are wounded. they are broken. They are hurting on the inside. And because of it, they think debilitating thoughts like, my marriage is not working, or my children are a wreck, or my boss is terrible, or I don't like what I'm doing, or I'm not a very good person, or I don't like who I am. I struggle in relationships. People don't seem to understand me. I'm not all that gifted. I'm not a superstar. I'm really nobody. God can never use me. Sometimes we can get in a rut. Sometimes we can get in a spiritual rut, and our thinking gets to stinking, and our actions begin to follow. Have you ever been there? Stories told about a man who went to a psychiatrist and said he was worried that he was a dog. "It's terrible," said the man. I walk around on all fours. I keep barking in the middle of the night. I can't go past a lamp post anymore." Okay, the psychiatrist said, "Why don't you come and lay down on the couch?" The man replied, "I'm not allowed on the couch." So we just do what we've always been doing because we think that's all we do. That's all we can do. We're hindered, we're hurting, we're harangued, but we keep doing what we've been doing because it's all we know to do. Sometimes God has to say, "Friend, it is time to break out of that rut." Amen? God has to say, "Friend, sometimes it's time to get over what's been holding you back." Amen? "Friend, sometimes it's time to move forward in your life." Amen? Today can be a new day, and somebody in the house ought to say amen. How many of us are ready for a new day in our lives? You can begin a new day right here today in worship, right there wherever you are watching. Here's a question. What do you do when you sense that God... Pause. Third thing I want us to notice about this story. Third thing, Peter and John are walking in the Spirit. Peter and John, they were connected with God. They were in tune with God and what God was doing. Remember this, they had been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And this was new power from on high that had come to live in their hearts, to lead them, to guide them in the way that they should go. And so they were on their way to prayer. They were practicing their faith when in the middle of everything, God spoke to them by his still small voice. And he said to Peter, "I want you to speak words of healing to this crippled man. I want you to notice him, and I want you to do a particular thing." Wow. I mean, Peter must have had this sense, I need to do something here, something special. What would you have done? I need you to do this. Here's a question. What do you do when you sense that God is prompting you to act? What do you do when you have this sense that God is calling you to do something that you wouldn't normally do? Has that ever happened in your life? Oftentimes, my reaction when I begin to sense God is prompting me is I begin to hesitate. Don't know if I should do this, Lord. Not necessarily a bad idea, but I don't try to hesitate too long. Instead, I try to quickly ask myself, Lord, you know, is that your voice? Is what I sense you're calling me to do, first of all, is it biblical? If it's of you, I know it's going to line up with your word. Is it in line with your kingdom principles? I know that you wouldn't want me to do something that's outside of the lineup of your kingdom principles. I know I'm to love you. I'm to love my neighbor as myself. And finally, is this something that if I did this, Lord, would you be glorified? And in a short order, if I have a sense about, yeah, in those three questions, I try to go ahead and do what I've been prompted to do. Step out in faith and see what happens. One of the simple things that often happens in my life is God, you know, prompts me to call someone. There's about a thousand of you that I'm thinking about, that I'm praying for, that I'm wondering about from time to time. And every now and then, a name pops up into my mind, or I have this sense that I need to call on somebody, or I need to go and visit them. And so I might write the name down, and then pretty soon it's, no, don't just write the name down. I want you to call them. I want you to go right now. And so I try to be cognizant of those kind of times. And what I find often is when I step out and I do that with a bit of hesitation, but okay, I regularly find out, man, Lord, you were in that. Because obviously they needed the conversation, and some of the things that I learned in that conversation, I needed to know about or to hear about. That was, Lord, that was you. You were all over that. Thank you for using your spirit in me to do something that, you know, I was a bit hesitant about doing. You have those times? I think all of us from time to time sense that, you know, should I do this? And I'm learning to hear with a better ear. Well, Peter and John were obviously connected with God. They were in tune with what God was doing. And so, prompted by the Spirit of God, Peter says to the man in Acts 3:6, he says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." What? Walk. Walk. And boom! That very day, the man's deliverance arrived. Been there all his life, there, crippled, and the day of his deliverance had arrived. The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, "You speak words of faith and speak words of healing. You exercise your faith on this man's behalf." And Peter listened and he obeyed. He acted and he spoke the words of healing. And look what God did. What an amazing story right in the middle of our scriptures. One of the most dramatic examples of walking in the Spirit, of speaking words of healing in our day and age, happened in the life of Ashley Smith, the 26-year-old single mom from Atlanta who was confronted in 2005 in her home by Brian Nichols. Remember, this was the man who wrestled a gun away from a guard. He killed the judge and several others in the courtroom before he escaped. And while he's running, he confronts Ashley outside of her apartment, and he forced her to let him in. And what happened in the end was nothing short of a miracle. Ashley Smith, she hadn't been living a stellar life herself, but she realized, man, I've made a mess of some things, but I need more of God in my life. And she began to speak to Brian Nichols. She told him that she had a 4-year-old daughter and that her husband had been killed in a stabbing 4 years earlier. And that if Nichols killed her, her daughter wouldn't have a mother. She told him that God had brought him to her apartment for a reason. And she began to read to him from the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. At one point, she offered to make him pancakes with real butter. He was overwhelmed by her kindness. And at one point, he called her an angel sent from God. In the end, he let her go and he surrendered peacefully. And in those moments, Ashley Smith gave not what Brian Nichols probably expected, but she gave what she had to give: faith, hope, and love. And it touched Brian Nichols' heart. So like Peter and John, Ashley was walking in the Spirit. She was sensitive to what God might be doing. when her opportunity to speak words of life came. As we walk as best we can in the Spirit, we can expect no less than the same. God can use you and me to make a difference. Fourth thing I want you to see from this story, healing happened. Healing happened. When the Spirit of God is present, anything is possible. Amen. Acts 3, 7 and 8 says, instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to what? To walk. When God chooses to act, the darkest night can become the brightest day. Hello? When God acts, the most debilitating circumstances can be changed in no time. What circumstance is crippling you? What is holding you back? What is it that has got you down? Perhaps you're struggling at home or at work, in relationships, family or friends. Maybe you're afraid to make a commitment. Or maybe you lack faith to make a decision. Or maybe you're afraid to reach out and love to someone you've been burned too many times before. Maybe your heart is hard. Or maybe your feelings are cold. Or maybe there's bitterness in your soul. And you're unwilling to forgive that one person who has hurt you. Maybe you feel like you've had enough pain to last a lifetime and you want out. You feel bound. You feel trapped. You feel shackled. Ashley Smith needed a miracle. Brian Nichols needed a Savior. God brought them together because God is in the healing, the redeeming, the saving business. The man crippled from birth was given a choice that day. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took it. And it changed his life. Will you and I make that choice in our own circumstances? Won't you let Jesus set you free? Last thing that I want us to notice from this story, and that's this: Jesus was glorified. In the midst of everything great that happened that day, Peter knew who should get the credit. Jesus was the one to be glorified. Acts 3:16, Peter says these words, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him." Peter knew where the power for the miracle had come from. The key to handling any spiritual power from on high, any spiritual happening whatsoever, is to remember, give God the glory. To always lift up the name of Jesus. To him be praise. Friends, there's just nobody quite like Jesus. The enemy is always trying to get people, you know, to go against Jesus any which way they can. Some people try to dismiss him. Oh, you know, you really can't trust in that Jesus stuff. Or they try to discount him. Oh, you know, there's nothing so special. What's so special about him? Or they try to discredit him. You know, he is not really the one who he claims he was. No one can claim to be the Son of God. But in the end, you just can't quite get away from this one we call Jesus. He just keeps coming back. Amen. He just keeps showing up. He doesn't give up on people, and he won't go away. Some have tried to stomp him out. Communists and sometimes atheists. Some have tried to squeeze him out. Most recently, you know, secularists. Some have tried to freeze him out. It happens in some dead places, dead spiritual places, even churches. But Jesus will not be still. He will not be stomped out, squeezed out, or frozen out. Jesus is on the move, amen, with healing, with wholeness, and with health. He is on the move with peace, with love, with joy. Peter and John were there in their days to see it and to be part of it. And the Wesley brothers, John and Charles, were there in their days to see it and be part of it. We are the people of our generation who have the opportunity to do the same. Are we going to do it? Are we going to say to the people of our generation who are struggling or hurting, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, why don't you rise up and walk? You who are downtrodden and broken and in pain, you rise up and walk. You who are fearful and afraid, timid, why don't you rise up and begin to walk? You who are bitter or bound up or eaten up inside, why don't you rise up and walk? You who are lonely, discouraged, alone, you rise up and walk. Who do you know who needs healing? Who do you know who needs encouraging? Who do you know who is struggling? Remember this, Jesus empowers you to help people in need to rise up and walk. So won't you be the one to speak words of healing and grace to them? Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray in the name of the one who loves us. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father, gracious one, mighty Savior, loving Lord, we thank you for this story from the Apostle Peter's life. We see that after the day of Pentecost, Jesus lived a life, Peter lived a life transformed. He was transformed by the power that came from on high. He knew the power of prayer. He was also walking in the power of your Spirit. He was sensitive to what you wanted him to do. The man born crippled was healed when Peter simply said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Lord, who do we know that needs words of healing, of wholeness? Who do we know that needs the power of your Spirit in their life to raise them up? Who do we know that's struggling? Who do we know that needs help? Lord, put their names into our hearts right now and speak to us through your still small voice about what we might do, what we might say. Give us Peter's boldness. Give us Peter's faith to believe that you can use us, Lord. You can use even us. It's in your name, your mighty name, we pray. And everybody said, amen.